Beloved, you are now tuned in to Three Black Men, a podcast by three black men where we talk about theology, culture, and the world around us. The following content may not be suitable if you ain't real enough. Listener discretion is advised, because real recognize real. Here's the hope when we look familiar.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. My name is Robert.
I'm Sam.
And I'm Trey.
Hey, we are the three black men. Welcome, everybody. First things first, how y'all doing?
Doing pretty good, man. Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. School is out today, so it's gonna be fun day after we finished recording. So yeah, I'm doing pretty good. How y'all doing?
If I start complaining, it's gonna turn into a different sort of podcast. Oh, so we're gonna say that I am here.
Okay, I thought you were about to say blessed. I was like, don't do
that
it.
Too. Blessed and highly favored.
Well, I was gonna say this is the perfect episode to like let that out and fly, probably.
Well, I'm glad you are here, Trey Ferguson.
You know what? I'm glad I'm here too, man. I appreciate being able to kick it with y'all right now in this very moment.
Hey, I am doing a little overwhelmed. Got a lot of things on my plate this upcoming week, and I'll just be for the next like 5 weeks. So, yeah, I am trying to take each day one day at a time. Yeah, I'm just a little bit in the overwhelmed category right now. But I'm happy to be here with y'all, chopping it up with the fellas. Next things on the docket, we have a Patreon meetup coming soon. Shout out to the Patreon supporters. If you know, you know, because you've already been part of Patreon. But we have a little sip and paint, if you will, coming up, and we're gonna get to see especially Trey Ferguson paint some things for us.
You gonna see Trey Ferguson sip some stuff for you.
His attitude will be better by the time we have the actual sipping. Yeah. Of the sipping and the painting. We have Patreon meetups every quarter, and we decided to do something a little bit different this time. So May 3rd is the date of that. And with that said, let's talk about hope, y'all. You know, as we have been exploring the contours of hope all season. And hey, we're going to talk about the scriptures today. And Sam, why don't you introduce the scripture for us and maybe part of why you wanted to have this discussion with us today?
So, as Rob just said, we're talking about hope this season. That's our theme. And this scripture popped in my head, I don't know, maybe about a week or so ago. Hebrews 11:1, very familiar scripture. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." That's, you know, the only correct version of that scripture.
The only inspired and errant version.
Right. Oh my Lord.
You know, I really just been chewing on that because we're talking about hope this season, and I've really been feeling hopeful, just in different ways, and just exploring what that looks like. And part of the way I process things, yes, your boy actually does read scripture. I know y'all like, wait, Sam talking about Bible? He think of, yes, I do think about the Bible.
I'm not gonna lie, I didn't know for sure. My God.
You know what? Part of that is like just re-evaluating the lens that I read scripture through, understanding that what I believe about scripture in turns is what I believe about God, right? What I believe to be true about God. So just re-evaluating those things, finding God in scripture, finding God in the mess. Hope, right? Like, I've heard this scripture used a lot of different ways, and we, I would say unfairly measure certain things, whether it be in the way we might ask for things via prayer or whatever. This scripture has really been problematic for me. So I would like to talk and like get some of y'all's thoughts and see, like, I mean,
Yeah, I wanted to give a little preface as we have this conversation. Number one, for the biblicists out there, this might not be your convo, because we're not going to do a ton of exegeting in the way that you would enjoy. So just go ahead and slip out. These are more musings. There is really good work on Hebrews, right? So all jokes aside, that is not the focus of today's conversation. We want to, you know, wrestle with how this has been used and some thoughts on the scripture and how it's landing with us. So if you know you that type, maybe take this week off. But if you're open and you want to talk with us and listen to us, hey, jump right in. I guess my first question to you, Trey, would be like, how have you heard this used in a church context? Yeah, you know, growing up, I am certain this isn't your first time hearing it and or preaching it. So how was the scripture introduced to you, to the degree that you can remember it?
I don't even want to call it a complicated relationship with the book of Hebrews, because it's not complicated.
Really? Is it love, hate? Because I love me some Hebrews.
No, I love Hebrews. I hate the way that it's often handled.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You're right.
So,
yeah,
right.
You're definitely right.
Yeah. My relationship with Hebrews is straight. My relationship with Hebrews and community is where things get complex, right? Because it's
well said.
It's the root of a lot of, I mean, it's not what we're here to talk about, but a lot of our supersessionist theology and stuff is directly rooted in the book of Hebrews and things of that nature. A lot of things that I think we need to question and address about how we're relating to these stories and our relationship with other people who have been relating to this God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and all of this stuff. But when we're talking about this specific verse, I think it is beautiful in that it is woven into this larger narrative of calling not only back, but really calling on the ancestors, right? We don't like to talk about the ancestors because somehow, some way, when
who's we? Let's point to the we in the room. It's not we, but
I'm talking about the people who be doing the YouTube videos calling Beyonce demonic anytime a new project drops.
Thank you for that. Pacific clarity.
There you go. I appreciate you pushing me on that. That's who I'm talking about right there. So everybody who be sitting there warning about the demon lyrics across every Beyonce project and how don't be talking about the ancestors because that's paganism. All of them people. I was about to drop a couple names, but you know, it's some black faces in reform spaces. Some of them have been platformed to varying degrees or whatever. Well, point to this, but this scripture is actually part of this build that we talk about the ancestors of the Hebrew people and how their example points toward the fullness of God in some way, right? And then we get to this one part where faith is the evidence of things one's hoped for and everything, and it's beautiful, but there are times when in our quest to systematize everything and to make everything fit into this narrative, where we forget that this is trying to work out exactly what faith is on our part, right? Because we use the word faith to communicate a lot of things. A lot of times it's talking about the faithfulness of God and that which we choose to emulate. But in faith spaces and faith communities, it's really a matter of believing. And here we have this scripture, which is often presented as like an exhortation to believe harder, right? Or to push through stronger, as opposed to what is a description of that. Like, what are we talking about when we talk about faith? It is us trying to strive towards something that we really just dreaming about, hoping it.
Yeah, I love that, brother. I did not grow up in the church. If you're new to the podcast, you may not know that. I did not inhabit the walls of the church at all because I grew up as an atheist. When this scripture was first introduced to me, I could never know that it would be part of this lexicon of bad interpretations that would be given to me for the rest of my Christian life. And so the book of Hebrews, especially this verse, has been used in a similar way to Jesus talking about having faith as a mustard seed, as weaponized against marginalized people, right? And so I would find that Hebrews 11 would be talked about in this really ambiguous way to almost cause people to believe harder. You got to believe what you believe, right? And if you really did, you would be able to have this hope that transcends your circumstance. And your problem now is that you don't have this hope in you, this evidence of things that haven't been proven in the natural. And so there was almost this rebuke of people who did not have enough faith and not have enough hope. And that was really damaging, not just to me, but to people around me. I saw people with chronic illnesses who would repeat this like a mantra over and over and over and over. And that was so difficult to watch people think that they were the problem and why they weren't receiving healing, why they were the problem and why they were having difficulty with their children, why they, not having enough hope is why their marriage was falling apart. And so I really watched this verse be used in a way that really it doesn't sit right with me. One, I don't think that is the purpose of scripture. It isn't to be used as this hammer against those who are weak amongst us. Like that is not the point. But I've seen it mostly that way, and that's hurtful. So I'll start with that there.
Yeah, so I mentioned earlier that it was a problematic scripture for me, right? And what I mean by that is, so like for those that don't know, like I'm neurodivergent, right? I have ASD, autism, basically. So one of the things that I struggle with is, aside from like social cues, are sayings like these. So like certain phrases or certain sayings just don't make sense, and they never will, right? So even the beginning, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. What is that? Does not, I cannot make sense of that in my head. So if you ask me what faith was, I would repeat that scripture, but I had no idea what it was. But you know what? I do know what it is. I know what hope is. I know what it is to cling to hope, right? Like, so when we talk about meeting people where they are, I've never heard an explanation of faith in such a way, like using this scripture that all that had made sense to me, right? So I would walk around saying something that I had no idea what it meant, even in using lexicons, and I got the logo software that I don't even know the password to no more. I
My
don't use
Lord.
it, and like you know what I'm saying, and all of the in-depth and works that I could read about Hebrews, that will never make sense to me. Just like the killing two birds with one stone, that don't make sense. It's impossible. It logically, my brain, you get what I'm saying? So for me, I feel like there for a long time had been I felt sort of disconnected with God in a way, because there were things that were said in church that I just didn't understand. There were things that I just could not make sense of, but it didn't felt disconnected away. If I want to, I don't want to, okay, let me rephrase that. I don't want to say disconnected from God, but there was always a part of me that would feel disconnected from the institution of the church, because there were things that I just didn't get, and then I just wouldn't understand, right? So I could mirror, right, and match, but eventually I'm gonna stick out like a sore thumb, because what does this even mean?
I think one, I think a lot of people are that way in the church space, and so there's a lot of people,
I
when
was about to
people
say, nobody knows what it means, but
yeah,
it's
like
from.
to the point where if you ask people the definition of faith, they will actually use this as their definition, and then if you press them, what does that mean? People do not be knowing.
Gotta catch it.
Yeah, you got to catch it's in there. You got to catch them all. But I think to Trey's earlier point, this verse in and of itself, there isn't a magical incantation that can be done with this one verse, right? Like this, you know, people use this and stretch it to mean a whole lot of things and use this as a proof text for a lot of things. I think part of the power of Hebrews 11, to Trey's earlier point, is it actually begins to show you images of what faith can look like and what hope can look like in different real world scenarios. And so it calls on the ancestors, some of the ancestors that people reading this text would know of, right? And so it looks like Rahab and her work with the spies, right? But it's also amplifying Rahab's life in a way that your good Christian Bible study may not think of, because Rahab was doing some things that we say are not good things that we say. But seriously, in the scripture is amplifying faith can look like this. Hope can look like this, right? It's bringing together both people who were considered mighty and strong and those who were considered weak. And it's saying it can look like all of this, at least that's how I'm reading it. And then it talks about the evidence of faith and hope in these different lives. And it says that the world wasn't worthy of these people, right? And so it's calling to mind ways that faith and hope can look. And I think we do ourselves an injustice when we don't sketch out for people what practical faith on the ground can look like. A lot of times it is messy. A lot of times it doesn't look good in a documentary type setting. No, it can look like a complete church room.
I think that's important to note for the fact that, like, you brought up Rahab as somebody who's rolled out as an example of faith. And I seen somebody do something and it made me chuckle. Sorry, you can hear me chuckling right now, because I mentioned how in the story of Joshua, Rahab runs what is referred to as an inn, where there are what we would now call sex workers. Now, there's a name for this type of inn. Most people would just call it a brothel, right? And if you go back and read the spies, there's not a real good reason for them to be camped out at the brothel. Some people are like, oh, well, they can lay low there. I'm like, yeah, they can lay a lot of things there. They can lay some plumbing out there, whatever.
Oh, but my God, on today.
And I mentioned how, like, this is somebody that is heralded as an example of the faith. And somebody was like, oh, Trey's out here trying to desecrate the Bible so much that even if the Bible plainly says that she repented, and in my mind, I'm like, oh, show me. Show me where that's foregrounded in her story. It doesn't. And I realized that what her very inclusion in this means that she is sanitized in our minds. Like, oh, the only way you get here is by repentance, despite the fact that that is not really how the story goes. And even some of the people that we would think of as good examples, like Noah, who builds the ark, comes out and immediately falls into a drunken state that leads to embarrassment. He curses his grandson off of this. They're like, no, they all got flaws in this game. And when we talk about faith, we end up acting as though these people are exemplary moral characters because of the hope that they were clinging to, when I think almost the exact opposite point is being made here. And I think it's the fact that, oh, it's in hope, right? Like Jesse Jackson, keep hope alive. Oh, it's in that we find out what it is like to pursue the things of God. Because even people who go sola fide, right? By faith alone, we are saved and everything. I think even that's presented backwards. We think it's by our faith in something when that doesn't make sense. And that actually goes against the argument that's being made there. We're like, no, it's actually God's faith, the faithfulness of God that saves us. Because in spite of all of the things that we do, God is still there in the very midst of it, right? Like that's where the gospel is pointing us, that Jesus was willing to take all of this on in order to save us. That is what the faithfulness of God looks like. And so when we're talking about hope, it is the thing that we are training our faith on. Like, what is it? What is the best thing that you could possibly imagine? And are you willing to be faithful to that vision? Is what's being pointed here. Now, a lot of people going, the heresy hunters going to come for me, but like, oh, is that what the, no, it's pointing us toward God. Well, yeah, I think the argument being made here is that whatever the best thing you can imagine about God is going to fall short of who God is. Like, God has to be better than what you can imagine. And if that's what we're finding out, grounding our hope, then what does that mean for our faith, right? And all of that to say that as we're talking about these things and, okay, what does faith mean? I think that's something that's being worked out in front of our face as we work through this portion of scripture.
Yeah. And I think, you know, as somebody who over a decade ago, almost 2 decades ago, you know, I remember as I was going through a very rough time in my life, and I was looking for examples of faithfulness in really hard times. And I felt like as a Christian, I couldn't get real stories, right? Or real answers to the pain that I was going through, right? And I was in my little reform bag too. So that's all already not helpful. But all that to say is there would be essentially this thought like, faithful men do not grieve. Faithful men of God don't feel pain in that way because they have this hope fixed on something else, right? Faithful men are not messy. Ironically, a lot of those people who are saying that, never mind. Anyway, I, because they were messy. Thomas.
You know, little meme, they think the messy is,
yeah, know. Exactly. And man, whoo, time, we don't have time to tell those stories. But what I would say is something that's comforting for me in the book of Hebrews in general, but especially this chapter, is the particular names of the messiest people that we know in scripture. And for me, to your point about sanitizing them, y'all, these people are messy. You got David sitting in this chapter knowing David is a whole mess. You got Samson in this chapter, and you know, the writer says, I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah. These people are a mess. So using these people actually in some ways is encouraging for me because I am doing the best I can with the resources that have been allotted to me. And, oh, if you're including Samson in the faithful, I'm here. I'm here, Lord. I know you see me. Yeah, but go ahead, Sam. You're about to say something.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, y'all both made really good points about, like, using Rahab and just, like, sanitizing, how we sanitize those people. Because I think, for me, scripture for so long was so, like, spiritualized, right? Like, for example, the way Jesus is painted and the way we follow Jesus, it was really hard for me for a really long time to imagine why people just wanted to kill Jesus because he said he was God, right? Like, that just didn't make sense to me. But, like, there was so much left out of, like, well, Jesus didn't just say he was God, right? Like, Jesus opposed entire systems, right? Like, there's so much that was removed from the entire picture, right, of who the, like, I, that, it was, I was probably in my 20s before I realized, like, yo, I never really had an actual gospel presentation before, right? Like, I had never actually even heard the gospel because it had been so sanitized and so Americanized in such a way that it's easy to sweep under the rug. It's easy to see how we got Donald Trump as a president. It's easy to see how we have so many different politicians who ain't no good, who ain't never been no good, and probably will never do any good, continue to be reelected because we sanitize all of the BS, right? And we want to spiritualize things instead of looking at what's in front of us, right? And, like, that, for me, when I read Hebrews chapter 1, I was like, no, I'm, like, I wanted to look in front of me. Like, well, okay, so I didn't really see, you know, it was hard for me to understand the concept of faith because of how everything had been just sanitized. And I'm like, wait a minute. Are we cleansed? Are we not? Like, what's going on? Yeah. So
you can't see for looking in the words of Samuel. Can't see for looking. And I think another thing about Rahab, that just funny enough, Rahab probably went back to sex work the next day. I did. Like, we're acting as if, to the point of sanitization, and people just inserting her repentance. And I suppose that she just, you know, went to church the next day, which y'all, that didn't happen. There's no evidence of that. She probably went to work the next day, y'all. Like, appreciate the spies. She clocked in probably that night. And I say that laughingly, but I mean that, right? Like, it is not sanitized to me. I think the scriptures don't get, for me, when I look at scripture, and again, this is what you are going to the scriptures for. Your vantage point will be different, mm-hmm. right? Like, how you view the scriptures, how you view its relationship to yourself, the world around you, will be different. But I'm not going to scripture to sanitize my life. I need to know, I need some kind of compass. And that's part of why I'm going to scripture. I'm going for nourishment. I'm going to understand ancient peoples and the human dynamic. I'm going to try to partake of tales of God and what God is like, right? So that's for me. And I guess I have this question for y'all in light of Hebrews 11 and the people that have their story told there and how faith and hope work out in their lives. I guess what I'm wondering is, in your personal life, you know, if we were right, you know, insert Sam, insert Trey's name in here, what has faith or hope looked like for you in a practical way in the past, let's say a year? Like, what's something that we could write a line or two to point to in your own life?
I think for me, if you limited it to the past year, the most obvious example would be me writing that book, right? Which for a couple of different reasons was important to me. Not only am I confident in the fact that I put out something that's going to help a lot of people make sense of things they struggled with in their relationship with God and in this journey of God talk, right? I'm confident in that, but also as a creative and a Black creative at that, the way I went about this business-wise and everything, I've already had enough conversations, and I say like, oh, it's by faith that Trey went and made something shake in a path that wasn't really well-worn in, right? It's by faith that Trey showed people a path to liberation, not only spiritually, but like financially and creatively in that way.
I love that. I love that. Okay, so we have a line in here on Trey writing a book. Okay. Hope, faith. Samuel, what about you?
You know what? If we're looking at the last year, I would have to say my commitment to showing up every day. And here's what I mean by that. I don't mean just like waking up and getting out of bed. While like, yes, that do be accomplishment sometimes.
A worthy accomplishment so, too.
You feel me? You like, okay. But just showing up in ways that, whether it be as a dad, a friend, or a husband, in ways that I would have needed or that I would have desired growing up, or showing up every day consistently and just trying to love people intentionally, right? Like, yeah. Probably like a year and a half so ago, I really like set the intention to live in such a way that I want, that inspires hope. So really just seeking to intentionally live that way, you know, whether that be doing Friday night, my kids, we just had a concert. I turn on a bunch of R&B music. We grab our microphones. Where's my microphone? I think my microphone right here. We grabbed our microphones and we threw on an entire concert on our porch. And we just sang and we laughed and we had a good time. And I'm noticing that, like, our neighbors, we've been here 3 years now, and our neighbors, at first, they really didn't kind of know what to do with us. Just, I think, probably also because of where we live, right? We live in a very Moms for Liberty happy area, right? Like, that's where it originated. Their headquarters is here, right? And where we live.
In real Florida, yeah.
Yeah, like, Florida. Stop. And so we were, like, some of the first Black people here. But just our freedom and being ourselves has a lot of neighbors now come and they just randomly talk to us. They open up to us. They look out for us, right? Like they see it, they're just us being free to be ourselves, whether we just loud, whether we're laughing, whether we're running around, whether I'm came out on the where I came out to check the mail in my underwear or not. Like,
okay, let me cut you off right here because I don't know what you're about to say now. Okay.
That is,
you just jumped off this.
That is not the evidence of things.
Yeah, okay.
Not that part. But just the intent on being myself, loving ourselves out loud, loving my kids, loving my out loud, even loving our neighbors out loud, right? Mm-hmm. Like I think we pretty much got keys to everybody's house and all around us to look out for. Yeah, just because we're that, people are comfortable with us, right? And I really just want to carry, I want to live in such a way without playing the whole oh my gosh, the good politics. What's the word I'm looking for? Where you're trying to...
You don't know, Samuel. I love you, though.
Oh, yeah. No, I love you, too. where you really just... You know, the political game where you know, Black folks try to play sometimes, where they try to be... they try to let out to be more good than what they actually are or whatnot.
Talking about respectability politics.
I don't know why I could not think of that.
I didn't give up on it as quick as Rob did.
I appreciate that. But really just trying to live my way life more authentically in that way that really speaks of the hope that I actually have in Christ. If that, I said a lot of words there.
You did. You squeezed about 10. You know, I said a line and you squeezed about 10, but it's okay.
I squeezed about a book in there. Yeah, just a chapter.
And it's okay, brother. This is a come to the altar. You know, the Father's arms are open wide. Amen. Forgiveness. So I do love that. Like showing up, trying to show up every day is the way that you're evidencing faith and hope. I think for me, I'm going to just squeeze it 2 since Samuel squeezed 10. he changed the rules of the game. May the odds be in my favor. I think 2 things. 1, committing to do a PhD program is a faith journey for me. It's a hope journey because I am not a traditional academic in any way. And oftentimes in a room of other academics, people really do discount me, sometimes explicitly. So a lot of people think I'm dumb. I'll just say it that bluntly. And so I am not the person that is thought of to do a higher ed academic program. But for me, being here and, you know, getting a fast scholarship shows that, yo, I'm just submitting to, you know, the work that is ahead of me to do the work my soul must have. And then secondly, I would say starting the journey in September to take anxiety medication. And I had been so fearful of the idea of medication for years. I thought that if I ever were to go that route, that I was admitting that there was something wrong with me and that there was something wrong with how I view the world, how I view God, everything.
Not to mention their commercials can be terrifying. Just saying.
True. They're like side effects may cause death, cancer, jaundice. You know, you're like, what's happening? Yeah,
I just want some relief.
Yeah, I just want a little relief. But I have come to realize, and within the first week, I realized how much harder my life had been unnecessarily for the past 4 decades of my life. And I still am in mourning that each pill I take day by day is evidence of my faith and hope, in that I do believe that there is so much hope and good in my future. And taking that pill is not antithetical to that. So that's what I would say.
Hey, man, I'm proud of you, bro. I love that for you. Congratulations, yeah, also, man. I love that for you. I really do.
Yeah, it's hard to overcome that stigma and to say that I'm one of those people that, no, there is a deficiency in my brain. That doesn't make me less than any of you, but I do need this to have a peaceful life. I really do. Mm-hmm. And I'm a lot happier because of it. So,
listen, yeah. I get you. That I understand you 100%. I'd be like, you think you all that? Wait, give me 20 minutes and I'm gonna be right. I don't even let it bother me.
I'm gonna step in, and I do this very carefully, only because I hate people be like, actually, reframe. You said there was a deficiency in your brain, my brother. And having been like, I'm your brother, I know that you are one of the most brilliant people walking the face of this planet. Mm-hmm. There is no deficiency in your brain. Your brain is wired differently than what has been classified as typical in the way that many people experience the world. That ain't deficient, bro. Like if I walk with a limp, it ain't no deficiency in my hamstring. I just some things out, bro. And I say that for a couple people, because I need you to know, ain't nothing wrong. Ain't nothing wrong. We just gonna get people free, you know.
True. Yeah. No. Thank you for that pushback. For me, how I view it is, the world creates an ableist apparatus and a disabling apparatus, and in that way, in that society, I do have a deficiency. That doesn't take away from my worthiness or ability to be loved. And I think that's kind of what you're pointing to. And I resonate with what you're saying. Like, for me, I realized after I started taking anxiety medication, one, when you realize, wow, y'all don't have crippling anxiety throughout the day to make simple decisions. Mm. Wow. Without this thing, there's no amount of candles, massages, prayer sessions, walks on the beach that can make up for the fact that my brain is wired this way. And so I thank you for that. Because for me, I don't think the word deficiency for me isn't negative, but I realize that could be taken and weaponized in a way that I don't enjoy. Because people are like, look at these, you know, disabled, deficient people. And that is not what I mean at all.
Yeah. I know.
You.
I hear you. And I hope it didn't feel like I was correcting you or whatever. Just like me knowing what you meant. I just want to.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
I honestly felt like love. I'm going to be honest. I kind of side with Rob. Like, I mean, like I identify with what he's saying, but just hearing you say that, like, I felt loved.
Yeah,
just,
for
you know
me.
What I'm saying? So I.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't hurt my feelings one bit. I like a little pushback. Last thoughts on Hebrews 11, verse 1. Any takers on a thought? Who wants to close this?
Yeah, so I just want to say, like, I've had my issues with Hebrews 11, 1. And what's really helped me, one, doing this podcast, chilling with my bros, being challenged in my way of thinking, and seeing God bigger, seeing the Bible as I think it was more truly meant to be partaken of, has really helped me with Hebrews 11, actually just scripture in general. So reading the rest of it and seeing the heroes of faith and and reading their stories, it becomes a different type of inspiration for me. Now, it doesn't really necessarily all the way make Hebrews 1:11 clear, because like I said, I'm like just reading it word for word, my brain will never make sense of that. But there's an inspiration there. I get the point of what the writer is trying to say, and I'm grateful for such inspired scripture that can help inspire me when I need a vote of confidence, when I need to reinforce my hope. So
Amen and amen.
we appreciate you rocking with us for another episode of Three Black Men. Here's the part of the show where we ask a favor from you. Now, earlier I mentioned a couple of ways that you can support us by joining our community over at patreon.com/threeblackmen. We have multi-tiered support options and you can get bonus content. If you don't want to do that, you can submit a one-time contribution by finding us on PayPal at threeblackmenpodcast@gmail.com. But we ain't here to tap your pockets. Here's a few ways that you can help us out without spending a single dime. If you can stop what you're doing right here, right now, and make sure that you've left us a review and a rating. Don't just give us the 5 stars. Go ahead and write out how much you love this show and tell everybody about it. Do it on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you at. Make sure you leave that rating and a review, and that's going to help even more people join the fun over here. Thank you so much. I knew God loved you for some reason.